We have one more scripture reading from Luke. And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. And he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they come out in leaf, you see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all has taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. So watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this world, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man.
Prepare him room. That was the theme that kept coming into my mind as I am trying to prepare the church for Advent. Prepare him room. Thank you for singing that for all of us. When I worked, when I was new to faith, as most of you know, I didn't grow up going to church, and I came to faith late in life, like almost in my 40s. And I got hired in October to work as the director of discipleship, ironically, at a church in Durango. And so I was hired in October. I'm new on my journey. I came from my Emmaus walk. I'm all excited. Now I work at a church. I mean, it wasn't fun to be laid off, but I got a job at the church, you know, 10 hours a week instead of 60. Oh, but anyway, so it comes to the time where we're in church staff, and it's right around this time of the year, and the pastor looks at me and he goes, "So, Cherie, what do you have planned for Advent for all the adult groups?" And I looked at everybody, and I'm pretty sure I blushed at that moment, and I said out loud, "I don't know what Advent is." God is funny. And here we are. Prepare him room. Prepare him room. Or I could say, Happy New Year. Because not only is Advent not just a Christian preparation for Christmas, it is the beginning of a new year in the church. And the first Sunday of Advent is hope. Now, I know I talked about hope last week, but I think we can always use a little extra dose of hope. Hope. I found this quote from Chesterton. He said, "I don't deny that there should be priests to remind men and women that they will one day die." He said, "I only say it is necessary to have another kind of priest called poets, actually to remind men and women that they are not yet dead." Sometimes we get so overwhelmed that we are numb. And we are too still and we can't think. And that's sometimes when we become hopeless in a situation or a circumstance or a relationship or something. It is time for each of us to return to Advent. It is time to give the prophets a hearing again, to listen with that playful intensity of a child hearing a story for the very first time. It is time to slow down long enough to maybe read a poem that is really intolerable and we don't really understand it until we surrender our need to control it, as I think what the point was of that verse. It is time to begin again, but only this time with the end in sight, to lift our eyes first to the clouds on which he will come before we fix them on the star of his first arrival. It is time to teach our children that the grass will wither and the flower will fade, but the word of the Lord will endure. How long?
Forever.
How long?
Forever.
Forever. Advent reminds us of a certain event, a day on the horizon of the future, which will reorder every last molecule of the universe. And this event, the second coming of Jesus Christ, despite all of the uncertainties of timing, this event is fixed for certain. And the message of the gospel, the message of the good news is, do not be afraid. Be prepared. Do not be afraid. Be prepared. And so when I keep thinking of prepare him room, notice the lyrics that Aaron was singing was not prepare him a room in your heart over here in the corner. Prepare him a little bit of space on Sunday between 11 and 12:15, depending on how long the pastor goes. No, it says, prepare him room. What is the image that you get when you think of that? Give him your whole heart. Give him everything you have. Prepare him room. You know, because I didn't grow up in that church environment, so some of my relatives, my aunts and uncles, who I was really close with, I still am, they were a little concerned. What's this thing Cherie got herself into, going to church, becoming a Methodist, and now she's going to seminary so she can become a pastor, a reverend, a minister? Really? We know Cherie. That's really not who she is, right? And my Aunt Sharon called me one day because my mom showed her one of my sermons that they would videotape us at the Durango church. And so my aunt calls me and she goes, Cherie, I saw you preach. And I was like, oh, okay, good, I think, I hope. And she goes, you are still you. I go, of course I am. Of course I'm still me. But sometimes we think that, right? We think that something, just because I surrender it to God's will, hopefully for my own life, that something is going to change, but I'm still me because God is the one who's created me. Hope. What does it look like for you specifically to prepare him room in your family, in your marriage, in your parenting, in your grandparenting, in your church, in your community as a neighbor? Prepare him room. And so the scripture this morning that Joni read from Jeremiah chapter 33, two verses, 14 and 16, he says, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. And in those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in all of the land. And in those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell securely. And in this, the name by which it will be called is the Lord is our righteousness. So during Jeremiah's time, this would have been a much needed word of hope in the midst of despair. Light in the darkness. And a reminder that no matter what the dark tidings may bear, God is with us. Hope is waiting. Darn it. Hope is waiting. You see, Jeremiah was written in the midst of exile when all the people were in captivity, taken away from their land. The people were warned, and yet they did not listen to God's prophet, and the people remained unfaithful. And their suffering and despair was real. It was not ignored, but the judgment of God was exile, and it was deserved for their unfaithfulness. And yet, at the exact same time in this passage from Jeremiah, God joins the people's lament. and dreams of restoration. God says in this passage that he will cause a righteous branch to spring up from David. And he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. Who is that branch? Who really executing justice and righteousness in the land? A much needed word of hope in the midst of despair is what Jeremiah is telling the people. And God said, Judah will be saved. Can you imagine what that would feel like? And Jerusalem will dwell securely, and the name by which it will be called, the Lord is our righteousness. And so what I want you to hear in this passage is, so despite the judgment of God that Israel and Judah have brought upon themselves through exile, God still chooses to work through and with Israel and Judah to restore justice and righteousness. And you know what, folks, brothers and sisters, God still chooses us to work through, to bring about reconciliation and restoration. And yes, hope is about waiting. People are waiting for the promise to be fulfilled. People are waiting. God always keeps God's promises, but not always on our timetable. Would you agree? The challenge is not how do we endure the waiting, Pastor? No, how do we participate in the waiting of what God is doing? How do we participate in the waiting of what God is doing? Hope inspires imagination. We see it in our children, don't we? How can we embody God's creative image of restoration and reconciliation individually, corporately as this church, and for this community? Despair limits our creative processes. Have you ever been in a situation where you cannot think straight and the last thing is you can be is creative? But it's hope that inspires us. Despair limits our creative processes. Hope inspires us. And when we go back to Jeremiah's in the scripture, this section of Jeremiah closes with a promise that the Davidic monarchy will be restored by expanding the divine promise that was made earlier in chapter 23 in the book of Jeremiah. But now this specific passage promises that the new Davidic king will rule in justice, this new king. He will rule in righteousness, this new king. This monarch will be so thoroughly righteous that his name will identify his rule, identify his reign, and really will be identified as bringing in God's kingdom. Who are we talking about here in Jeremiah? The Lord is our righteousness. So righteousness is one of these words, it's like a church word. We never use it, right? We don't say, oh, Laura, you're so righteous. And if we do, it's usually not a good thing. Usually, oh, she thinks she's so righteous. But righteousness needs to be unpacked. Basically, what righteousness means is acting according to God's purpose. Acting accordingly to God's purpose. So now if somebody said, Linda, you're acting righteous, is it really bad for somebody to be called that? We just need to know that acting according to God's purpose. So what is God's purpose? We know it's love, it's forgiveness, and it's reconciliation over self-preservation. What does it mean for you and me and for this church to declare the Lord is our righteousness? What does that look like for you? Anybody know what a plumb line is? God is our plumb line, not our sustainability, not our profitability, not our likability, not all the works that we do and how good we are or aren't, but God. God who declares equal rights for all people. God who tells us to love our enemies. Who? Our enemies, who? Yeah, you're like, you guys, I don't even want to say it, because then you know I'm going to tell you to pray for them. God, who tells us that to be rich, we must first become poor. To be first, we must become last. And to inherit eternal life, we must be willing to die. Die to herself. Die to Cherie's will. Die to me thinking it's always about me. And surrender to be in righteousness because of Christ. And to be acting as best as I can, as best as we can, in God's will. Hope never dies. We talked last week about general hope. We all have general hope, but sometimes that general hope can turn upside down and it becomes our ultimate hope and drives everything. But that ultimate hope is wrongly placed because it's in something or someone that can't sustain it. And so when I say hope never dies, it's because of the ultimate hope we have of Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, and the Spirit dwells within us. It does not mean everything is easier. We think our situations, our world events and sufferings are unique and devastating, and they are. But our Israelite and Christian ancestors knew suffering as well. When Israel was destroyed and all hope seemed lost, God still had a plan to bring hope and salvation to the world. Jesus' birth was the coming of the long-awaited Christ, and many people wanted him to solve everything by force, to destroy those evil empires and set the world right. But there is no return to the Garden of Eden, and God's plan for salvation was not meant for one nation at one time. It was for all people for all time. So hope is about waiting. Hope never dies. And then in Luke's gospel, we were reading about the end times as Aaron was reading the scripture from the Good News, looking for signs. Jesus is telling his disciple that when he comes, you will see these signs. Jesus says, there's going to be signs in sun and moon and stars. The earth will be distressed of nations in perplexity. There's going to be roaring of the sea and the waves. I mean, we just had earthquakes in Alaska. People will be fainting with fear and foreboding of what is coming on the world. And Jesus says, now when these things begin to take place, you straighten up and raise your heads. Because your redemption is drawing near. And then he continues with a parable with the fig trees. He says, and he goes, look at the fig tree and all of the trees. As soon as one leaf comes out, you see for yourselves and you know that summer is near. And so also, Jesus says, so also when you see these other signs taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. And then Jesus says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. And then he tells the disciples, watch yourself, lest your hearts be weighed down with drunkenness and cares of this life. And that day will come upon you so suddenly like a trap. Stay awake at all times. Stay awake. And pray that you may have the strength to escape all of these things that are going on to take place. Stand before the Son of Man. So hope is about waiting. Hope never dies. And hope stands. Many of us would prefer to hide from our problems, deny them, or let others work out solutions. But Jesus calls you and me to respond differently. We are called to stand together in community of believers who are willing to pray, willing to follow Jesus, and willing to fight for hope. We are called to stand up and fight the injustices that you and I see in the world, to stand up and love the unlovable, to stand up and heal the brokenness, to stand up and shine light into the darkness, to stand up and be the hope our world needs. Does our world need to see the hope? Yes. So in the days ahead, as you prepare him room, stand. Don't just wait for Christ to be born. Stand up to proclaim and to be the hope Christ brings to the world. During Advent, don't just wait for Christ to be born. Stand up to proclaim and be the hope that Christ brings to the world. So as this theme of the first Sunday of Advent is about hope, these last few weeks before the birth of Christ, as Mary and Joseph made their difficult and long journey to Bethlehem for the census, they could not yet imagine all that waited ahead for them. They too had to wait for God to reveal power and salvation in the world. They too had to face hardships, fear, and doubt. They too were looking for those signs of hope. And so remember, hope is waiting. Hope never dies. And hope stands up. Hope is born anew. Prepare him room. Let the King of Glory enter in. Amen. Amen. Amen.